Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 637. It's the 14th of November, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Oil and Gas Sector Authority Malky talking about SDX Energy and Jersey Oil and Gas. Plus, I also have small cap commentator Doc Holliday talking about Angus Energy, YOLO Leisure and Technology, CloudTag and Prospects Oil and Gas. Plus, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Angus Energy. That's A-N-G-S. Now, I've got to say, normally I do, do an audio version, an audio summary of my blog from the weekend. My blog was on Angus Energy. So someone, in fact, the person who submitted this, called the Gatwick Gusher, has done it for me. But I've got to say, the podcast is quite Angus Energy heavy today. I do apologise. If you want to learn about Angus Energy, it's a good podcast to listen to. If you don't, they're not so good. But anyway, I'll go through the reasons why the Gatwick Gusher has gone with Angus Energy in a bit. Also on the podcast, I have, of course, the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, plus the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. I'll do that in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky. Morning, Malky.
Morning, Justin. How you doing?
I'm all right, yeah, it's not too bad there. Interesting open today, is lots of news around. Of course, the new company as well joined the stock market, Angus Energy. I suppose you'll be covering those at some time, will you?
I probably will. I'm meeting with them tomorrow, as it happens, so I won't make any comments until I've seen them, but I'm meeting the management tomorrow. It's a very interesting pedigree they've got, so I may well talk about them next week.
Marvellous. So what are we talking about today, Malky?
Today I'm talking about two stocks which have announcements out this morning, which I have talked to you about before.
Yeah.
One's SDX Energy and the other is Jersey Oil and Gas.
Okay, yeah, SDX, I just read a bit about those. I remember last time you came on and they had some good news out and the market didn't react that much, did it?
No, if you look at, the chart looks absolutely fantastic, but, on a slow burner basis, because, it keeps doing well, then coming back, and then it bounces, off 22 or whatever it happens to be, and then forward, and then, if you break through those peaks, and I'm, predicting that, the value, should be 50p, not 25p, once you break through peaks, it should be good, and today's news is extremely positive.
Yeah, well, take us through the news. What's the news about?
Right, well, a few weeks ago, they announced that, this is an Egypt play, don't forget, so they're South Dussuk prospect, which was primarily a thought to be a gas prospect, but in fact, when they got the news through from the seismic, it looked like that they had discovered or potentially discovered a prospect which might be oil, which would have suddenly changed the basis completely for their valuation and the economics of that prospect. And today they've announced that they've seen with further interpretation of the seismic, some really exciting prospects, very, very classy stuff indeed. And they are in the process of arranging. They've even agreed they're carried for this well, don't forget, so they don't pay anything. And if things go according to plan, they will they'll be on the case drilling this well quite soon, along with their partners. They've selected the spot. And they'll be drilling it soon. So some exciting prospects in addition to this as well. So, I'm really confident that SDX is taking the right road, and the South to Souk is good. They made another announcement about one of their other prospects, which I think is also Mercedes, which is also good, because that's with some new pumping equipment they're going to increase production there. The bottom line for this company, Justin, is it's extremely well managed, and it has got money in the bank because it raised money when it came to the AIM market a while ago. It's now got prospects in Egypt. It's getting the money out of Egypt, which some people are a little concerned about. Everything carries a risk with it in that part of the world. But I like the way that they've high-graded their portfolio and made sure that the best prospects are there to be drilled. There's no point in leaving them undrilled at the moment. So they're kicking off for this. And just one final thing on this prospect. They said that they weren't going to farm it out, because they successfully farmed out a bit of it already. But they have had so much interest from high-quality players that they have agreed with the operator to do what the sensible thing, and let what they call selected potential partners have a look. And you might just find that there's a selected partner might come in for a small percentage of what they've got for a very large amount of money, and that, of course, would monetize the whole prospect and make their potential very substantial indeed. So very positive news from STX Energy this morning.
Yeah, well, the share price is reacting well. It's up 12% as I'm looking, so that's good news for them. And what about Jersey Oil and Gas, JOG?
Yeah, Jersey Oil and Gas, Justin, this is one which, it's a long shot at the moment, but it's one I've been desperately asking the people in the blog to put in their on their radar screens. It is only at the moment potentially a sort of one hole company, in the sense that they've got this very interesting prospect in the North Sea called Verbier. But the really good news, and why I talked about it last month, was that Statoil have elected to come in as partners, and they've farmed in. And the people from Statoil tell me this is one of the most exciting prospects they've got worldwide, let alone in the North Sea. This morning, Statoil, I didn't want people to start putting too much down in this stock until we knew that they were likely to, they really were going to do it, and they've been doing a site survey in the last few weeks. But today, Statoil have announced that they have been to see the OGA, the Oil and Gas Authority, and formally announced that they'll be drilling a well next summer. Now, the point is that this is one which is high risk, and obviously it's going to depend on drilling this particular prospect. There are other prospects, but I think the reason that it might go into the bucket list in January when we do the changes is that it will be something with a serious amount of upside, and people will talk about this well all the way through next spring and early summer ahead of its being drilled, because the upside is absolutely stupendous for the Jersey Oil and Gas if it was to come in. So I'm extremely positive. It's not without risk. It should be watched carefully. But I think that Jersey Oil and Gas could be a very substantial one. And then watch out on the timing as you get nearer to the well being drilled.
Yeah. So as regards your bucket list, Malky, so when do you update it, and how many stocks are in there? And just tell us what it's all about.
The bucket list is updated in January every year, and unless something comes out of it for a specific reason, I don't tend to change it at the time. But I do make, it's meant to be a sort of dozen, 14 stocks. All the stocks have got to have, high quality management. They've got to be soundly financed. They've got to be, not in the position where the market can determine whether or not they can pay for it. They've got to have a good portfolio of exciting assets. And some of them I'm more happy to have just a decent amount of production and some upside. There's always one or two more sort of sexy stocks in there which may have a really big well to drill. Last year it was Pantheon and Sound and that sort of stuff. So, it's not without risk. But the point is, it's meant to be, if you cover all those stocks, it's the haves rather than the have-nots in the oil and gas sector. Yeah. So, I'm trying to find a whole bunch of stocks which people can either pick and choose from, or take the whole lot like little investment trust and make sure that you're covered with with all the real, the very good players.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's the risk is managed as well a little bit. Okay, so marvellous. So, and I'll put the link to that. Obviously, I do anyway every week. I link to your blog, yeah. So people can see that there. Lovely stuff, Malky. Speak next week.
It's a pleasure. If anyone wants to see the bucket list, it's on the website, malkysblog.com.
Lovely. Speak next week, Malky. Bye-bye, fella.
Justin, bye now.
The Box Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on this fine Monday morn is, you say Doc, I say holiday. Doc! I got that right
holiday.
Wrong. Yeah, I got that wrong way around, didn't I? Anyway, see, I wouldn't make it to the X Factor final, would I? Even as something as simple as that. So, how's things, Doc? You all right?
You've got a bit of a hoarse and croaked voice this morning, Justin, but very well other than that, thank you.
Yeah, do you know what? I hope to be a hypochondriac, but I do try my best to be one. Yeah, I'm not feeling the best either, really. I woke up sneezing like a maniac last night, but there we are. Let's talk about positive things, stock market, things that are happening. I see some of the most followed stocks today. Number one is Angus Energy. I wrote a blog about those. I do hold stock. I took some in the IPO there. I think a very interesting story. Obviously, some people say, well, you would say that, the oldest stock. But genuinely, reading through it, I do like it. And I don't know how much you know about Angus Energy. I spoke to Paul Vonk, the MD, on Friday podcast. And do you know anything about Angus Energy, Doug?
Obviously, I'm aware of the company from its involvement down at Horse Hill. Jonathan Tidswell was one of the individuals that was instrumental in, getting that play up and off the ground. Angus then went and divested its investment in Horse Hill, I think, once it had proved up, certainly within the public's perception that it was a goer, that had a positive outcome. There was obviously a lot of significant and dramatic rises. It was, thrust across the sort of main media and news. He sort of proved the point there, moved on, and now Angus has obviously listed itself, and the story unfolds as we see today with what can only be described as a successful IPO.
Yeah, yeah. I quite like it because, like I said, at Horse Hill, there are still exploration licenses. And even though there's a lot of potential down there, I don't know how much they'll get out. And obviously, that has to go through a lot of admin and legal stuff and then processing before they get to even production licenses. And so the story is, apparently, Angus said, well, listen, hang on, we've only got 16% now of Horse Hill. It's exploration. We're a production company. We have Brockham 5 miles down the road. They've tested that. New Tech, who did the test at Horse Hill, have tested Brockham. And it's looking, geology-wise, even better than Horse Hill. It's early stages, very early stages, got to say that. So, you could say that it could be a huge potential. Not only that, they've got cash now, and they're going to improve production at these two fields, Brockham and Lidsey, the two assets. So they're going to be, generating cash quite soon because they have both production licenses on both assets. And in the meantime, they'll be doing exploration well as well. That's Paul Vonk calling me there to correct me. But they're doing exploration well down into that limestone there that they did at Horse Hill. So the Kimmeridge limestone, that's a lot deeper. And so, the potential is there to be massive. Like I said, there's always risks with drilling and all. But potential is huge.
You can tell you were in the IPO, can't you?
Yeah, well, I wrote a blog on it. And as ever, I don't know a huge amount on the technical side, but reading through some of the stuff there, I try to make it as simple as possible for myself and others to read. But it's worth looking at. It's one of the things we think, if the potential's there, and these are the guys that drilled Horse Hill, so they know what they're doing, then it's worth looking into this, I think. So I think it's one to put on your watch list, definitely. Like I said, with an IPO there, a bit of a hype, you'll have a bit of a rise. But I'm sure, people can get a bargain here. I know some people have been buying for 6.5 pence today, which is not far off the IPO price and 6 pence. So I think it's worth putting on your watch list and doing some research and trying to sneak a bargain there if you can,
I'll tell you what, Justin, it didn't take for a lot of conversation my side on it. You've done a good enough job. Let's move on.
Go on.
I mean, look, to be honest with you, I would say that there's pros and cons to how this could work or how it may not. Ultimately, it was always about sentiment and momentum. That appears to be there on day one. If it continues, the price will continue to go up. If momentum starts to slow down or ease off, then I would imagine then you would expect the price to come back a little. But in reality, it's all about awareness and belief. And from what I'm seeing, there's an awareness, and the belief will start to grow as things become validated. But you've done a great job on that one, so I guess we might as well definitely move on.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can always get, it's always times on AIM, it's stocks, isn't it? When there's a lot of hype, share price rises, and then there's quiet periods. And that's when, you know, if you've done your research, you should look about investing, not buying into the hype ever, because buying little spikes, you know, can make your average price in that company go up, and obviously less chance of earning cash. So, I mean, like I said, like you've always said, you know, buy wholesale, don't buy retail. So second most followed company is YOLO. And what's your thoughts on YOLO there, Doc?
Look, mate, I'm big sort of into these type of techie stocks. I think it's all about timing. We discussed that with Angus. I think it's going to be the case with all of the investments that anybody looks to make within the junior markets. You can buy a good company at the wrong price and a bad company at the right price. And we know that there's been just too many examples of it in the past for it not to be the case. YOLO have got an interesting bit of technology. This technology is designed for the less tech savvy, for perhaps people, as Rob Lewis did, designed it for his parents who couldn't really get into this new age way of working. So he's created something that he believes is going to target an audience of, I think it's 90% of people that want bought music on CDs, various other devices, and are now sort of within this black abyss and not doing a great deal. There's a huge market audience within the area that once bought music that aren't buying it today. He believes that this device is going to give those people access. We know there's lots of different types of technology out there, like Spotify, and a vast variety of different ways that people can get online, can plug the things into the back of the TV. I've had people talk to me about Kodi and Chrome sticks and various other different devices that you can use. The problem that you have with these things is they're not always that sort of easy to operate. And I don't know, you know, whether these guys are covering all of the licensing bases. And I think when you start to look at this particular product, they've gone down that line of bringing in consultants from the music industry. They've paid licenses to be able to, you know, produce this music, you know, into your homes. I'm not too sure whether people are sticking Kodi in the back of the TV with a load of software on it that's streaming, you know, music or football games or movies without paying for licenses is legitimate moving forward. And I think this is what people are, you know, need to look through or look past, is that this particular device has been designed specifically for a target audience. That audience is huge. We know that the statistics are there to support it, and the device has been created with ease, and there seems to be a lot of interest around it. I mean, again, it's always going to be about momentum and sentiment. And, you know, from a 1p raise that they did recently, and for the company going out and taking 41.2% of Electric Jukebox, again, you can only say that it's been a successful start. You know, the shares are trading at what can only be described as a decent gain in the share price and the market cap, but also within the momentum and sentiment behind it. People are now starting to see it. The PR campaign, I think, was just incredible. A very simple thought process of getting a big sign of Donald Trump running it round the city, going to the American Embassy, going to Big Ben, going to Buckingham Palace, and getting that word about, I think it's great. I don't see anybody else doing it. You know, I've seen a lot of people talking about CloudTag, and they've been talking about the technology that they've got on, why it's going to be so great and how they're going to get it into the NHS and how. And the reality of it is, you know, they haven't even got a product that's on the shelf yet. And if you go look at an article that was brought to my attention over the weekend, they've already started doing testing works, and I must, you know, for avoidance of doubt, you know, point out that this is not the CloudTag product, but four other products that were within the peer group in the market. And there's so many sort of inaccuracies within that data that's been fed back in from this particular lady's experiences. It's almost, you know, it's almost sort of now showing that there's holes and fragments within that market. Now, again, if CloudTag were to produce a product that can, you know, improve the accuracy of these devices and is flawless, well, you can see how that could go on and be absolutely amazing, because what we do see now is that there are clear flaws with the products that exist. On the flip side, if they're not able to do that, if they don't get a product to market, or it's no better than what's already out there, you could almost argue that there's now a case where people are starting to see there's just a few issues with these devices. Likewise, you know, we talk about your own electric jukebox, and I think there's just a general situation for me where the product's built, it's designed, brought in people from the music industry, it's on the shelves, people will be putting it in the homes any minute now and using it, and it's only a matter of time before we find whether it's actually any good or not. I don't think there's any argument, if I'm honest about that. I think, you know, people can speculate on whether it'll be successful or not, but in reality, the testament of time will prove it, and it won't be long before people have, you know, getting those units up and running.
Yeah, yeah, and I suppose they're both companies there, you know, sort of, you know, Electric Jukebox and CloudTag. They have identified, like I said, a gap in the market. CloudTag are championing, you know, accuracy. That's what they're going for, and weight loss and accuracy. And like I said, with Electric Jukebox, they found that gap. And this is what I quite like. I just saw it's almost retro tech, isn't it? It's addressing a part of the market that doesn't exist anymore. Like 800 million people used to buy six or more CDs every year, and that doesn't happen anymore because obviously the tech isn't supporting that really so much. And so they thought, this is a huge gap. People have these kind of people, a certain age, haven't adopted, you know, Spotify. So people are comparing it to Spotify and stuff. No, it's not. It's the wrong market. They're not going for that market. There's a huge market, like you say there, that are not being addressed, and that's what they're going for. And of course, you've got the backup, you know. Go on.
You know, the argument is that, you know, there's of that audience that once bought those six CDs or more a year, 90% of them are not buying any music.
Yeah.
So you only need a very small proportion of people to say, you know what, we really like this, we're going to give it a go. And, you know, those units, I would say, particularly if this marketing and PR campaign continues the way it is, those units are going to go out the door initially. So that's going to be one big positive. And it's going to give them one big leapfrog ahead of many, many companies that exist with the name that don't have a product, they don't have a commodity, they don't have anything other than just a license to go, or an idea. So these guys, I believe, leapfrog. Now, if the product is rubbish, it doesn't work, people can't use it, it's got lots of flaws and faults, it's only going to go one way. It's just going to become another bit of technology that didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it works, and if it allows people ease of usability, and it gives them access to something that they feel that they've missed massively, and the momentum and sentiments behind it, and people start to get a bit of a buzz about it, you know, it gets viral. These things then can go on and do exceptionally well. And like I say, we've seen big, big gains in lots of different companies recently that are in similar type spaces, and they're nowhere near as close to that sort of revenue enhancing moment of actually getting things sold in the market. So I think it's an incredibly interesting time, both for CloudTag and for YOLO, but for very different reasons. When we talk about the cycle, one's definitely at the bottom, the other one's sort of somewhere off the bottom, between, in that sort of void, awaiting now to find out whether their product can go out there and improve on what seems to be a choppy environment. And that is only from the report that this particular lady's published in one of the mainstream media papers. Again, it's the Daily Mail, I think it was. So,
yeah,
you know, let's not take that as gospel. Yeah. But what I would say is there's a definite pros and cons type situation. And that is, in my opinion, if they have the same flaws, you're going to find that these particular bits of technology may not be quite as accurate as people had hoped. And if that's the case, then, you know, the value gets lost. But if CloudTag are able to, you know, go out there, demonstrate that our product supersedes anything that's out there, then it's going to be a massive, massive positive for that particular company.
Yeah, here's a thought. I've heard a couple of people saying about, you know, electric jukebox, what, listen to music through TV. Here's a thought. Now, this is trying to address, like you say, an older generation of people who are not familiar with apps and stuff. I know my father isn't. But listen to this. I remember years ago, my father used to have a hi-fi system, right? Quite a nice one. He used to take pride in it. Different stacks from different makes, apparently, different parts of it. Now he doesn't have one of those. But what he has done, he hasn't spent any more money on hi-fi. He hasn't even got one. What he has done, though, he has souped up his TV. He's got a Bang & Olufsen. He's got proper speakers. He's got a bass speaker. Even two TVs. And he's got all the surround sound system on that. So essentially, the hi-fi for the TV has become the hi-fi. So I don't think it's an odd, you know, concept of using the TV to listen to music. And my father often listens to, you know, via Sky, Radio 2, whatever, through the TV. And he does put DVDs in there. So it's not an odd concept of using now your TV for a hi-fi system. A lot of people are doing that. So I don't see why people have a problem getting their head around that concept, you know, because it's happening, isn't it, you know?
Oh, look, definitely. And I think, you know, there is the argument for the sort of below, you know, under 30 type age range, who are going to be using their TVs for, you know, they're getting the full benefit from these products. You know, there's lots of folks I know go out there, they spend big money on TVs and they just don't use them fully. And you get, you know, these younger aged individuals that are really tech savvy and they get the maximum out of it. So I kind of figure that for the likes of your dad, as an example, and again, fits within that target audience perfectly, is what it does, it allows him to be able to adventure in a little bit more into the actual TV and what type of functions it's got by a simple conduit of this electric jukebox. But what you should be doing is giving one to dad and then letting us know whether he thinks it's any good, because in reality, it is those people that are going to be the ones that give the feedback. And, you know, if it works, then, you know, we've got a mass of people that are going to be queuing up to buy it. And if it doesn't work, they're not going to buy it. It's as simple as that. I mean, well, I see all these people start to get into conflict of, you know, whether it's going to work or not and whether it's any good. Reality is, it's priced at the bottom. We're at the wholesale price now. You know, we're there now. There'll be a lot of speculation. There'll be a lot of anticipation. There'll be a lot of opinion, as there always is around these types of things. Ultimately, when we find out whether it's any good or not, there'll have been a massive move in the market. It nearly always happens. The reality then sinks in. Is it any good? It's no different than when we start looking at other companies in other, you know, even if you went and looked at a resource company. I remember talking to you, lots of people, about Prospex Oil and Gas. As we got closer to the operation, we would see that interest spike up. There'd be a huge spike of interest and volume as people start to speculate whether this particular asset is any good. Now, we've seen that happen. The share price is up two or three times the multiple, whatever it is. And the reality of whether this particular asset is any good will be known very, very shortly within the new year. It's as simple as that. Now we get to the reality part. If it's any good, if they deliver or they exceed on whatever they expected, you're going to see that share price, you know, go into those double figures. And if it doesn't, and if they hit a complete duster, it's going to go the other way and it's going to go sharp. So there's been a lot of potential in that particular move. There's been a lot of potential with CloudTag, with EVRH, with lots of other tech companies. And I'm sure that this will be no different. Yeah. As I say, one of the things that this company have got, and in fact, Prospect have got, is they've got a bloody good chance of getting a good result. And the market's starting to value that. With YOLO, they've got a product that they can sell. If it's any good or not, we'll soon find out.
Yeah, well, I think I'll buy one for my dad for Christmas. Or I'll contact the CEO of YOLO and ask him for a discount, and my father can be a field tester. It's for research purposes, so maybe I can get it discounted. In fact, no, I won't. I own shares in YOLO. I'll buy full price. There we are. Doc, thanks very much. Speak next week, fella.
All right, mate. Good to talk. And, you know, just before I go, Justin, I did hear on the grapevine that there was going to be a number of these products that would enter within that sort of tech space, so people could go out there and do exactly that trial and use it, and we'll start to see whether it's any good. If I was you, I'd definitely be asking for one for research purposes. Get yourself a freebie and then buy one for the wife.
Yeah. Well, cheers, fella. Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. It is Angus Energy, as we mentioned with Doc earlier on. And of course, Paul Vonk was on the podcast as the MD of Angus Energy. They floated today, first day of dealings. But this is submitted by the Gatwick Gusher. Apparently, that's his name, or her name. I don't know. I hope he's a man. What does this company do? A UK-based onshore oil production exploration company with two extremely exciting assets, one named Brockham and the other named Lindsay. Sounds like a double act. Brockham and Lindsay. Hey, here come Brockham and Lindsay. Anyway, both sites have flowed oil, and Angus Energy recently raised $3.5 million in a heavily oversubscribed fundraise to IPO on the AIM market on the 14th of November today. Proceeds of this raise are intended to drill further wells at both sides in order to significantly increase production. How many shares does the company have in issue? They'll have on IPO today 214 million. In issue, a very significant proportion of these shares will be owned by management and other parties who are either locked in or who should be very much aligned with the long-term aims of the company. What's the current price and market cap? IPO share, sixpence issue apparently, so 13 million on listing. It's around about that. I think it's 6.5 pence at the moment. What revenue, profit, loss can we generate? These figures are to be revealed, but as an early stage producer at both sites, with potential to significantly increase production at both sites, then there could be significant cash flows, especially if early production gets targets are met and costs of production continue to be kept low at around between 14 to 22 bucks per barrel. How much cash or debt does the company have? At least around £3.5 million on the IPO and no debt. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, two words, Horse and Hill. Angus Energy were behind Horse Hill, which successfully flowed initial extremely significant rates in early testing. Angus successfully divested Horse Hill, which is now valued at £36 million, and chose to keep Brockham and Lindsay to develop, possibly believing these to have more potential. Number two, always look at the management, an extremely experienced team. Chairman Jonathan Tidwell, and founder of the company, is an expert drilling and production engineer, so extremely hands-on and has the experience to make things work in the field. CEO Paul Vonk, again, extremely experienced player in the financing and deal-making side of oil business. Also extremely strong expertise at the corporate side of things, especially at working the city. And the rest of the board also seem to be extremely strong in their respective fields, adding industry, technical and political expertise. And reason three, Angus Energy have a production license, existing production and a full program to drill a number of wells at both Brockham and Lindsay assets. All work which is hoping will deliver solid long-term cash flows and rapid payback. Horse Hill caused huge excitement in the market when it successfully flowed oil at a rate of around 1,600 barrels per day, which is around 8% of the UK's total onshore daily production. Angus, with the production license, the works programme at two assets, plenty of cash, and following on from Horse Hill's success, is bound to cause a lot of excitement in the market. So that's, you need no reminder, Angus Energy, ANGS. I do believe it's one to put in your watch list, definitely. Okay, here are today's top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, always there in the top five. If they aren't there, I'm starting to wonder what's gone wrong. CloudTag, CTAG. At four, Horizonte Minerals, HCM. At three, EVR Holdings, that's EVRH ticker. At two, Yolo Legend Technology. And at number one, no surprise because they're brand new to the market, so you know, a lot of followers there. It's Angus Energy, ANGS. There you go, it's mentioned again. All right, here's the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. At five, Strategic Minerals, SML, Agreement to Progress Gold and Rare Earths. At four, Caledonia Mining, CMCL, results of third quarter of 2016. At three, Decal Oil, investments to increase profitability at Aeonu. At two, Angus Energy again, first day of dealings. And at one, Horizonte Minerals, most liked RNS, their quarterly report. So you can see that there, all that there, at the blog there, voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And by all means, if you know of a company that you think has potential and it should be on other people's watch lists, please submit it. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You'll see one of my posts there. Click in there, open that up. At the bottom, you'll see a link. Just fill the form, and I will be featuring it on a future podcast. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I want to settle down. Maybe tomorrow. Right, thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.